Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. The Bible says in verse number 13, the Lord's just speaking. And he says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." I want to preach just a little while this morning, if God will be my help, on finding the right way. Finding the right way. Now the Bible here tells us there's two ways. Amen? He said there's one road that's broad. And sometimes, you know, you think, well, you know, that broad road would be an easier road. It'd be easier to, you know, it'd be easier to navigate a broad road, a wide road. That's why we, you know, we build roads and then we build interstates and then we build super interstates. And next thing you know, you've got three or four lanes going each way. And we think, well, that'll be better because it'll give us more room. That's what the world thinks when it comes to the Word of God and things of God. They think, well, you know, we'll just take this broad road because it'll be easier to traverse. And we've got so many different options on it that we can pursue. I want to say, praise God, there's only one option, and that option is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the only way, the truth, and the light. So we come to a place here, and the Lord says we come to a crossroads, or you might say we come to an intersection or the fork in the road, and we have to make a decision which way we're going to go. Amen. Whether you're young or old, it doesn't matter. Each one of us have to make a decision which way you're going to go. Amen. We're going to go on that broad road that leads, the Bible said, leads to destruction. Amen. And that destruction, what he's talking about destruction from the presence of the Lord. Amen. So it's ending up away from God and godliness. I don't know about you, but I found out that that's not a very productive way. It's a place where God can't help you, amen, till we get back in the right graces of God. So we see that broad way. It's easy, but that broad way is directed by the devil, by Satan. Do you know where that broad way ends up? It ends up in hell. Amen. It ends up in an awful, terrible place. But Jesus at the crossroads, and he said, "Hey, listen, there's two ways. There's a straight gate," and said, "There's a few be that find that straight gate." I wonder why we don't find the straight gate. I wonder why they so few finding the straight gate today. I tell you why. Because there's not very many that's looking for it. We're looking for everything in the world, amen, to satisfy the flesh and the lust thereof, but we're not looking for something that'll satisfy our soul, that'll give us peace and hope and happiness down in our soul, praise God, and give us a face for the journey that we're on. So we don't look for that narrow road. We just go along with the flow. And the flow takes us into that broad way. On the devil's way. Amen. But the Lord says here, now this is the Lord speaking. He said, there is a narrow way. Hey, now sometimes that narrow way is a more difficult way. Amen. I don't know in the day and hour, you might say, well, it's a more crowded way because it's narrow. But in the day and hour that we're living, I don't believe that's the case. Amen. There's a lot of the narrow way that we need to try to traverse today. Praise God. That's it's not very crowded. Amen. That narrow way, brother, it's not that crowded today, praise God, because there's not a whole lot of people that's wanting to get in. Amen. Oh, we want to, you know, we want to say that we're okay. We want to say that we're going the Lord's way. And we want to say that we're doing the things to be pleasing to God. But are we really? Amen. Are we seeking out that narrow path? Amen, praise God. You see, it's probably going to be a little more difficult because the old devil, he'll make you want to think that this is an easier way. Just go this way. But remember, the devil's way leads to destruction. That's a taken away from the presence of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he said that this narrow way, it may be more difficult, praise God, but it offers higher expectations. Our expectations on this narrow path, praise God, our expectations is a whole lot higher. Because our expectation, Brother Charles, is heaven. It's a place of safety and refuge in the Lord, praise God, one day in a little while. And He'll take care of us in the journey. He'll minister to us and give us the help we need. And when it's all said and done, there's a whole, not only a higher expectation, but there's greater rewards for somebody that's on the narrow path. That's following that narrow way. Amen. Praise God. And the benefit is that that narrow way, it leads unto life everlasting. Life everlasting. That's where the narrow road goes. So when we come to the fork, we just need to, Jesus is there at the fork, and Jesus is pointing us into the narrow way. So let's just go with Jesus. Amen. Jesus makes all the difference, praise God, when it's all said and done, because He offers us that life everlasting. See, Jesus gives us life, and Jesus takes us and promises that He'll take us to heaven to be with Him where He's at. That was His high priestly prayer. That's what Jesus desires in your life and mine. He wants us to be with Him. Amen. He is the King of glory, praise God. He's done accomplished that for the praises of the Father, amen. And he was glorified of the Father. He wants us to be with Him where He is. You say, well, preacher, how do we attain to this narrow path? How do we get on this narrow road? I'm glad you asked. Look at John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3, Bible speaks to our hearts. Jesus is talking to a man named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. He was a teacher, a devout man that claimed to love God. But he asked a question about it. He said, Lord, I know that you're a good man, paraphrasing. He said, I know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Amen. He said, we know that you come from God. And Jesus answered unto him, Brother, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. If you ever want to see the kingdom of God, he said, you've got to be born again. Amen. Have to have a new birth, have to be born. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about being born of the water and the Spirit. A water is a type of the Word of God. It takes the Word of God. The Bible says the foolishness of preaching, praise God, to convict men's souls and to let them know that we're all sinners in need of a Savior and that we need to, you need, I need, we all need to be saved. Amen. We need to be saved from ourselves. I've said many, many times, self bothers me more than anybody I know. We want to pack everything off on the devil and Satan and say, well, you know, the devil and Satan make me do it. It ain't it. Most time it's me and you. See, devil's not omnipresent. Hello? Newsflash, he's not everywhere all the time. Now, we may think he is, but it's not him. It's this old flesh that we live in that gives us a fit. Amen? But Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And he lays it out here for Nicodemus. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. We have a fleshly birth. Amen? You're born into this world and you come into the world as a little bitty baby human being. Harper was born 1 year ago today. Amen? Today's her birthday. She come into this world in the flesh. Amen? But you know what? Not Harper's going to need one day when she comes to the age of accountability. She's going to need to be born of the Spirit. Amen. The Word of God planted in her little heart. Amen. So that she can receive the truth, know the truth, and be saved. Amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He said, Marvin, I say unto thee, you must be born again. Amen. So we got to be, he said that in order to find the right way, Jesus said we've got to be born again. Amen. The only way to find the right track, the right place, amen, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's pointing us, praise God, down the right road. Amen. We just have to realize, praise God, He is the right way. He tells us on down here. Let's just skip down a few verses. I just want to share the Bible with you this morning. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says go 13, and it said, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, talking about Jesus, even the Son of Man, which is in it, is in heaven. Amen? Now you think about that. Jesus says that the Son of Man ascended down, the Son of Man went ascended up, but the Son of Man is in heaven. He was standing there talking to them. Amen? Praise God. That's power. That's might. That's God right there. Amen? Speaking to our hearts. And he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Watch this. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You remember the story? Amen. You remember the story how they was over in Numbers chapter 21 and they committed sin and they was being bitten by the serpents. And if they would, as they were being bitten, they were dying. There's no cure. There's no help. And they were dying. And God told Moses, he said, make a serpent of brass and put it up on a pole. And said, anyone that's bitten, and said, if they'll look, they'll live. Amen. This serpent upholds the top of the Lord Jesus Christ being lifted up. Amen. Praise God. And he said, if you want to live, you got to look up. You say, well, preacher, that's pretty simple. Amen. A snake bite. Oh, well, I'll go over here and I'll bow and I'll look at that. I'll look at that. But these people that was that would not heed that advice, they said, well, you know, I ain't looking at that thing. And guess what? They died. Same way today is a lot of people, praise God, they will not look unto the Lord Jesus Christ that they might live. And there's people dying all around us today and slipping off into hell lost without God. Amen. But Jesus said, He come for old sinners, praise God, that by faith we might be saved. Listen to what he goes on to say. He said, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. But have, now that have is present tense. Hello? Amen? That whoever believeth in Lord Jesus Christ, that you have right now, this minute, everlasting life. You just said, preacher, there it is. I got you. If the Lord tarries, he's coming. Every one of us is going to die and go to the grave. Amen? So I got you. Amen, praise God. I won't say in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing ever dies. Wherever Jesus is, everything lives. Amen. Praise God. We may shut our eyes, praise God, and the breath go out of us in this world, but we'll take our next one in glory. Amen. To be absent from the body, to be present with God. Amen. In the moment, a twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord till that glorious day is appearing. Amen. Bless His holy name. He said, so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Right now, have that life. Amen. To believe. What does it mean to believe? To believe what happened. To believe what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Amen. Do you believe Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem? Amen. Amen. You believe he lived and grew up? Yeah, the Bible tells us that he did. An 11-year-old boy, he was there in the temple teaching. Amen. Praise God. He was a minister to them that should have been doing the ministering. Praise God. And he grew up and he began his ministry at 33 and a half years old. Amen. And then he died on Calvary for the sins of the world. Amen. Died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Amen. And that he was buried. Hello? Now we have proof, Brother Charles, of his death. Right? Amen. Stay with me. If you stay with me, I can get done quicker. I got you in attention now. Amen. So that he died and he was buried. How do we know that Jesus really died? Yeah. But how do we know that he died? Because he was buried. You don't bury something that's alive. I hope not. If you bury live stuff, I don't want you hanging around me much. Sometimes I slow down, you might throw me in the ground, throw some dirt in my face. But we have proof that Jesus died because he was buried. We know he lived. We know he loved. And we know he died for our sins, for sinners, me and you. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. He says this. He said, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Who are they talking about? Jesus. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, the times that we've missed the mark. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sinfulness. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. He's none of us perfect. We're all sinners. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every one of us. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That, my friend, was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he did for me, praise God. If we're going to find the right way, we're going to have to find a way in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is that way. So we see Jesus died for our sins. He was buried, praise God, as proof in his death. For 3 days and 3 nights he laid in that dark tomb. And the third day, praise God, as Brother Bill said, he got up. Amen. Victorious over death and the grave. Praise his Lord. Ain't you glad he got up? That third day, the Scripture said so. Amen. Who is the Scripture? The Scripture's God. God spoke it to us, and he said Jesus died according to Scripture, that Jesus was buried according to Scripture, and that Jesus got up, praise God, victorious over death according to the Scripture, because God said so. I mean, I believe God, don't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. And this very message is the gospel that saves. Amen. But it doesn't save if we don't believe it. Paul would proclaim it this way in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." That's that good news, by the way. "For it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that," now watch this, "believeth, to the Jew first, and also," thank God, "to the Gentile." Amen. He said, so the power of God, for the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. To all those who believe in Lord Jesus Christ. We have to believe. So the power of the gospel is powerless, praise God, until sinners believe. Amen. We got to believe what Jesus did for us. But look what he continues to say in John chapter number 3. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So we believe the gospel, we believe Jesus died for us, and we believe that because God gave his only begotten Son, the greatest gift that America had ever attained to and ever received, praise God, was the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing about that, it doesn't cost you a dime. You don't have to pay for it, because you couldn't pay for it if you had to. You couldn't afford it. Amen? But Jesus Christ, God gave you his only begotten Son. Amen. Praise God. He gave the greatest gift. He gave his only begotten Son. The Lord so loved the world. That's why he did it. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Amen. Praise God. The only means of a new birth is the Lord Jesus Christ. Only way to be saved is through Christ Jesus as your Lord. Receiving him, praise God, magnifying him in your hearts. He's that in Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4, verse number 11. He said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. He said, who is Jesus? Praise. He said, he's that cornerstone. Not only is he a cornerstone, he's the chief cornerstone. He's that building stone. He's that foundational stone. You know what's wrong with America today? You know what's wrong with your home and my home? Praise God. Is Jesus Christ is not the foundation stone for everything that we do. I've said before, we try to set our priorities, and that's an oxymoron because there's no such thing as priorities. Amen? There's a priority, and that's the most important thing. And if we'll take and set our priorities, Lord Jesus Christ, that chief cornerstone, the foundation stone, praise God, everything else will build upon that. Amen? Praise God. Everything else God will build upon that cornerstone of Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Amen. So the only means of this new birth is Christ Jesus, that cornerstone of God. He said, which is the head of the corner. He said, neither is there salvation in any other. Amen. That answers the question for the world. They say, preacher, there's got to be more than one way to get in. Not according to what God says. God said there's one way. And that way, praise God, the finding the right way, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way to heaven. He said, neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men. There it is. There's no other name that we have, that we've ever gotten, praise God, other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereby, or the means of, that we must be saved. Amen. He said, it's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. The only way you're going to, praise God, that must, you must get in, you must receive Lord Jesus Christ, you must be born again in order to be saved. Praise God. What's missing today, we take it so lightly. Amen. We see people just nonchalantly going about their business and never getting in. See, Jesus came to seek and to save that was lost. And he came gladly, amen, praise God, to save old sinners. Ain't you glad that he did? Amen. John chapter number 12, we see that Jesus came and he was troubled in his soul. See, Jesus was 100% God, but he's also 100% man. Now, he got hungry. He got thirsty. He got tired. He got sad. Read in your hearing Isaiah 53 that he was grieved. Amen. All those things. In John chapter number 12, he said this, verse 27. He said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? What was Jesus' soul troubled over? He was going to Calvary. He was going to Calvary. He was going to lay down his life for sinners. You know what that means? That means he was going to take the sin of the whole world. He said he bore our iniquity. He took on our transgressions. Every time we had missed the mark, every time you had missed the mark, every time you had sinned, Jesus became that sin. He took all of that upon himself. His soul was troubled. He said, now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Amen. That was the fleshly side. He says, if there's any other way, that's when he prayed, remember in the garden? He said, Lord, if there be any other way, but not my will, but thine be done. He said, Father, I know I'm in this flesh. I know I'd like to see it better, but Lord, I want your will to be done, that souls can be saved, that you can get the glory from their lives. Amen? Pretty simple gospel, isn't it? It's nothing magnificent. Just finding the right way, praise God, to it is the most important part. She said, Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. And then the Father, he said, Father, glorify thy name. And then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, I've glorified it and I'm going to glorify it again. Because he said, you're going to finish a cause. You're going to fulfill a purpose. The only way to salvation is going to be through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He would go on in John chapter 17 in the high priestly prayers. He crossed the Kidron. Said these words, John 17 verse 1. He said, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. I wonder what if we stopped today and took time every day and said, Lord, please glorify thy name. Glorify me that I can glorify you. Help me, God. Give me the direction and the purpose that you have. He said, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify you. He said, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You know, we're all given a work to do. Amen. Every one of us have a work to do. We have tasks to perform in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would go on verse number 5 and say, Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Amen. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, he's the way of salvation and the hope of eternity. Praise God. And then we see the promise revealed. Remember what happened? Jesus died for our sins. He rose up and he ascended up to heaven. And 40 days later, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Remember when the Holy Spirit fell on the place? Amen. And they was moved upon by the Spirit of God. So on Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came to convince men. Convince them of what? What does the Holy Spirit come to convince us of? That Jesus Christ loved us and He died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Amen. The Bible says that if Jesus be lifted up, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, when we're being bitten and devoured by the things of the world, we got to lift up our eyes and look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Finding the right way to get to where He is, that's the most important part. So when we lift up our eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ, we magnify Him. The Holy Spirit brings to our heart that need for a new birth through Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter number 16, verse number 7. Jesus said, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. That's the third person of the Trinity, by the way. The Holy Spirit. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. You know what sin is? Sin is what Jesus said. It's not believing on Lord Jesus Christ. That's sin. That's the biggest sin we can commit is not believing on Lord Jesus Christ. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the power of this world is judged. Amen. But he said the Holy Spirit of God is coming to do that. Coming to give it the help, the hope that we need. Amen. He's coming to give us a personal faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. A personal faith, praise God, in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. Amen. That is the right way. That's the only way to get to heaven. When we believe on Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Brother Bill, he said there's a broad way and many go in thereat. But he said there's a narrow way. And guess who's standing at the entrance to that narrow way? If you're going to get in, you've got to go in by Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You've got to go in through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that free pardon of sin. Because of the gospel, the good news, the good report that Jesus Christ Himself died for your sins, according to Scriptures. And He was buried, proof of His death. And He got up victorious over death and the grave so that we could rise up victorious over it too. Amen. I'm glad today you don't have to die and go to hell, lost without God. Amen. It's not a place appointed to you and me. It's a place appointed to Satan and the demons of hell. But we've been offered a place with Christ in glory. Amen. Glorify me, Father, with the glory I had with you before the world was. Amen. And Jesus would go on to say in John chapter 17, verse 6, I have manifest my name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. In other words, they believed you. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known. That's believing the word. And have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou hast sent me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. Now watch this. All mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. When we find our way to Lord Jesus Christ, amen, we get glorified with Him and we glorify His name when we lift Him up and praise Him. That's the right way to go in the day and hour that we live. Not going to be very popular in the world because they're all headed down that old broad road. But He said there's a narrow way, amen, that leads to righteousness in Christ your Savior. Praise God. Finding that right way. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm saved. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He lived, He bled, He died for me, and I believe He got up for me. And I believe that in my heart. I believe the gospel, the good news of Christ. God bless your heart. I'm glad you do. If you're here today and you don't believe that, you've never received that, you've never accepted that, you're lost as a ball in high weeds. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. The Word of God. Amen. I give you exactly the Word of God this morning that will touch your heart and help you to be saved.